And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. A whole lot to get through on this podcast. We've got results roundups from the Meath Football Club Championships. We've got the hurling fixtures for the club championship coming this coming weekend. We have results from the ladies football championships, and we will have previews of the senior semi-finals taking place next weekend. We also have a load of other stuff that we want to get through. So I suppose, Davey, it was just a manic weekend. I'm still not the better of it. And we had to, it was that busy that we had to push everything out to Monday because championship in Meath, championship in Cavan, I've been all over the place. I can't remember like yesterday, never mind the games that I was at during the week and on the weekend as well.
It's a funny one because I'm literally just coming from a preview night in Park Tolton looking ahead to the finals. And some of the fellas that I was talking to, I interviewed on like over the weekend, like Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And I think it was the Slane boys asking what day the preview podcast was out. I was saying, well, we have to get the review of the semi-final out first to try and regurgitate what happened in that one before we even look ahead to the finals, which will obviously be next week as well. But good to have a lot of things canned, Mickey. So we've got absolute bucket loads of the content coming over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose just to let our listeners know what's coming this week on our Loyal Royals podcast, it's patreon.com/wearemeath for that one for the price of less than a pint. It's €5 a month for that. We've got the senior reviews coming from the semi-finals and we'll be reviewing, obviously, the relegation games as well. We've got interviews from the Summerhill camp and the Rathold camp after their semi-final wins. We've got the intermediate review, and we'll have interviews from Jalique Bellewston and Radkenny, and we'll also be reviewing the relegation games in that one. From the Junior A, we have reviews of all the games in the Junior A. We have, and we also have interviews from the Clonmacnoise camp after their win on the weekend. From the Junior B, we have reviews of the quarterfinals and the semi-finals that took place, and we have interviews from the quarterfinals and the semi-finals as well that took place in the Junior B Championship. And of course, later in the week, we'll be announcing the Kiko Sports Team of the Week, the Blackwater in Player of the Week and the Blackwater in Top Scorer of the Week in a separate podcast as well. And we'll be also talking about the Kiko Sports Team of the Year, which was a massive event last year. And we're looking forward to the same again this year when we announce the Kiko Sports Team of the Year. It's getting close to that time of the year, Davey.
Yeah, it is. It is. Not much on, to be honest with you, sir. but yeah, we better start planning that, Mickey, because it's going to come quickly and Christmas is coming as well. So
Yeah, it really is. And I suppose Christmas is coming and we'll have the Kiko Sports We Are Meath online shop as well. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes' time. But we're going to go straight into the results from the weekend and our predictions from the senior and intermediate. We didn't do predictions on the Junior A and the Junior B. We gave our thoughts on the games, all right, but we didn't do predictions on them. But we're going to start with the Coolrite Refrigeration Junior B knockout stages, and we're going to start with the quarterfinals and the results from that. Quarterfinals that took place were on Saturday and Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, of last week. And it was Slane 4-16, St Mary's 2 points, Cortown 2-13, Boards Mill 2-5. Then the semi-finals were played midweek on Thursday and Friday. In Carnaross on Thursday night, it was Minalti against Cortown. Minalti got the better of Davy Rispin's Cortown, 18 points to 6. And on Friday night in Castletown, Slane got the better of Kilmaine.
17 points to 7, Mickey.
Okay, 17 points to 7. Let me have you look at my notes, actually, just to confirm that one. I know I have them there somewhere. Maybe we'll come back to that in a moment because I've lost my
You know, I'm clutching at straws when I'm trying to pick out.
Yeah, the result was still the same. The result was still the same, though, Davey. The result was still the same. It was, of course, Minalti who went through to the semi-finals. And the other one was Slane, 218, Kilmaine and Wood, 1-7. Davey, disappointing Thursday night for yourselves. It was a great win against Boardsmill the week before, but unfortunately, your championship came to an end at semi-final stage.
Yeah. Look, I said it here last week. I wasn't going to come on whinging about the 4-day turnaround, and I'm absolutely not going to do that. We were missing, I think, up to 5 kind of regulars in our team, and we lost a couple from the Boardsmill game to the Minalti game, and there were 2 key men in trying to nullify a couple of the Minalti danger men. But we'd have no complaints. The better team won. Minalti were very good on the night. And yeah, they'll have a big part to play in the final too, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're right. The score that we have from the internet is wrong. It was, of course, 17 points to 7 in favour of Minalti. A 10-point win for Minalti, not a 12-point win. So it was a point mixed up somewhere along the line there. Should make for a great final. We will be previewing that next weekend. Of course, Davey was at the preview night in Dungannon. So we've spoken about that. We will have loads of podcasts coming next week.
Yeah, Park Talton, actually. But yeah.
Park Talton. Okay. We'll move on anyway to the Ballyrees Bar guest accommodation and restaurant junior football championship, the relegation games that took place. We'll talk about them first. The first one was on Sunday. Well, both of them were on Sunday. One was in Slane. And it was St. Vincent's against St. Dalton's. It was St. Vincent's 2-15, St. Dalton's 1-5. And then the other one, it was played in Bective. It was Dunsany 1-13, Kilmainham 1-7. Sets up a lovely little local derby in relegation final, Davey, or the Junior B qualification rounds for 2024.
Oh, it does. And you've got Skinner Rennicks at the helm in Kilmainham taking on his beloved St. Dalton's. It's going to be tasty, Mickey. It is going to be tasty. Kilmainham looking to stave off back-to-back relegations. Of course, Ultons have been dancing with danger for the last number of years. Something's got to give. Local derby, that in its own right could be the game of the weekend. And I'm not being funny, like junior relegation game, pitted with all the finals that we have coming up. That game could be anything. It could be a cracker.
Yeah, and that Dunsany-Kilmainham game, that result was after extra time. It went to extra time. It was, I'm not mistaken, something like 10 points to 1-7 or something at the end of full time, Davey.
It was 7 points apiece. And Dunsany kicked their equaliser 8 minutes into added time through a free from Pierre Fox. But they pushed clear in extra time, but they were mightily lucky to get to that stage.
Yeah. And again, we'll be reviewing that over on our Patreon service. Dunsany live to fight another battle in the junior championship, and Kilmainham will be trying to stave off relegation when they come up against St. Dalton's in that final. Moving on then to the knockout stages of the junior football championship. And we're going to talk about the 2 quarterfinals first. Ballinlough took on Sidon in Minalti on Tuesday night. It was Ballinlough 10 points, Sidon 9. And in the other quarterfinal, it was played in Cortown. It was Kilbride 4-7, Moyla 7 points. 11 scores apiece in the Kilbride Moyla game, but the goals being the difference for Kilbride on the night, Davey.
Yeah, 2, especially after half time when they were playing against the Breeze, were big scores for them. It kept them like a 10-point lead. And to be fair to Moyla, they hit 7 points in a row after that, but could never claw it back and get a goal scoring opportunity of their own. Kilbride, very impressive in really difficult conditions.
Yeah, we reviewed both of those games on our Loyal Royals podcast last week. And we're now going to look to the semi-finals that were played on Sunday. The first one was in Waterstown, and it was between Kilbride and St. Bridget's. Davey, this was billed as one of the biggest games of the weekend, and it finished Kilbride 2-12, St. Bridget's 1-9. And the other semi-final, it was Clonmacnoise 1-12, Ballinlough 1-9. And we probably did have the four best teams in the junior championship, bar Dunsany maybe, fighting it out for final places.
Yeah, I don't think you could argue the toss, really, of the four semi-finalists. Absolutely. Look, the quarterfinals were quite tight in essence in that, but Kilbride and Bridget's have impressed from the start, and Clannagale, to be fair, have been one of the most consistent teams, whilst Ballinlough have probably been going well on both fronts. So I don't think anybody could really argue, and I think the quarterfinals kind of showed us that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we'll be previewing that final and next week's podcast. We're going to stick with this week for the time being. Moving up then to the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship, and we're going to go to the relegation games first. And this is where our predictions come into play. In the first of them on Friday night, it was in Paddy O'Brien Park in Navan O'Matneys, and it was Nobber 115, Dundry 19. Davey had gone for Dundry. I went for Nobber. I got 1 point up on that on him there. And then in the other one, it was in Boards Mill. It was Bective 313, Longwood 114. And Bective and Nobber live to fight another day in the Intermediate Championship, while Longwood and Dundry will fight it out. And that would be an absolute war of attrition in that relegation final.
Yeah, that'll be a horrendous game like to be involved in. I suppose you've got Dundry, semi-finalists last year. You've got Longwood, who aren't long down from senior. Something's got to give, and both of them really struggling. It's going to be a complete and utter battle and a horrible game to be involved in for both sets of teams.
Yeah, we both picked Bective. I picked Nobber. Davey picked Dundry. So that was his first failing of the weekend. Then in the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship semi-finals played on the weekend, both of them in Park Tolchin, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. The first one was the eagerly awaited meeting of Dalík Beilstein and St Pat's, the Battle of the Becks, and it was Dalík Beilstein who came away with an 8-point victory, 117 to St Pat's 19. In the other one on Sunday, it was Rathkenny coming up against the favourites maybe for the championship, Navan O'Matneys, and they routed Navan O'Matneys. It was 1-12 to Navan O'Matneys, 6 points. Again, Davey went for Navan O'Matneys, I went for Rathkenny, and we both went for Dalík Beilstein. So Davey's second slip up of the weekend, and I've got maximum at the moment, Davey. I've got 4-4 in the intermediate.
You'd know you had a good week. Normally you leave these to the Loyal Royals podcast, but you want to give it out to all the people who don't bother paying for the Patreon for this one to hear. I know what you're at.
I want them to know that you're the small ball expert. I'm the big ball expert. So yeah. Moving on then just looking at it. We've talked about the relegation final. But what a final we have in store between Dalík Beilstein and Rathkenny. You know, they met in the championship last year in the last round of the group stages, if I'm not mistaken, and Dalík Beilstein beat Rathkenny that day. Rathkenny then went to the quarterfinals in second place, taking on the eventual winners, Dunshaughlin, who also beat Dalík Beilstein on their way to winning that championship. So, you know, two of the teams that have been standout teams in the last 3 or 4 years behind that one team that was the outlier to win the championship.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. They're two of the most consistent teams over the last 2 to 3 years in intermediate football. So rightly, they take their positions in the final, and it's such a coin toss of a game, really. It's very hard to make a sustained case for either of them, you know, in a game like this. I think it's just whatever team kind of performs better on the day. Because from what we've seen from both sets of teams throughout the course of the year, there's absolutely nothing in the difference. So I think it's set up to be a quality contest.
Absolutely. Moving on then to the Fairy House Steel Senior Football Championship relegation games that took place on the weekend. On Friday night in Batterstown, it was St Peter's Dunboyne against Mynalvi, and eventually St Peter's Dunboyne seeing out a game, 4-15 to Mynalvi's 10 points. And in Summerhill, in the other relegation semi-final, it was Nafina 113, Screen 8 points. And again, a mouth-watering relegation final between the longest reigning senior championship team in Meath and Screen, and then a Mynalvi side who, I suppose, in recent years have probably boxed above their weight, but maybe are just starting to feel the pressure of what they've been fighting off for the last number of years, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and missing a number of bodies as well. Like they just didn't have anybody to mark Donal Lenihan than Truth, and that was obviously, to their downfall. On Nafina, I suppose that appeal has finally been put to bed now, and not to their satisfaction. But I actually think that would have been a welcomed by Nafina, because at least they could just get on with it, because I thought they looked distracted against Leinster, put in a good performance. They didn't trail that game at half time though, but welcome back Shane Walsh, and that was huge, and they came good in the end.
And again, we'll be previewing that intermediate, or that sorry, that senior relegation game or intermediate qualifier, that will take place next week as well. And to see Screen and Mainalvi in it, it is disappointing and whatever, when one of them will be playing intermediate football next year. And then on to the semi-finals of the Fáil Ó Stíl Senior Football Championship. Summerhill took on Dunmore Ashburn on Saturday, and Summerhill came away with the victory here, 10 points to 8, showed all their steel and all their grit to get back into this game and get ahead in closing stages and get the 2-point win. And then on Sunday, we had another nervy affair. It was Rathout 7 points, Wolfe Tones 6 points in that Senior Football Championship semi-final, and Rathout and Summerhill progress to the final.
They do, not maybe in the fashion that we expected them to, though. Both of them, I think you could say, fallen across the line against their respective opponents over the weekend. But at the end of the day, they're there, and that's all that really matters for them, But I think both sets of teams will know that they're going to need to improve significantly if they're to beat the other in the final. Summerhill trailed Dunmore Ashburn for long parts of that game, came good, when it mattered coming down the straight. Rathout, like, played with the breeze in the first half, led by 7 points to three, and then didn't score for the second half. Shipped three early points and, like, managed to hold on for what, the last 20 minutes of the game, at 7 points to six. It was one of the most bizarre games I've ever been at. I don't think either sets of managers will be happy with their team's performances, but they're there, and that's all that matters. It's a repeat of last year's pairing, and the two outstanding teams in the county just about come true in the end.
First time since the 50s, I believe, as well, that we've had the same pairing 2 years in a row in the senior football championship final, if I'm not mistaken. There was something up on Twitter about that, which is an unbelievable stat as well. On the predictions in the senior.
You're tapping into Instagram Interactive already. Come on, me.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just giving them hints for later on. Looking at the predictions from the Senior Football Championship, we both went for Summerhill. I went for Rathout. Davey went for Wolfe Tones. We both went for Dunboyne in the relegation. Davey went for Nafina, and I went for Screen. It was the only blot on the copybook for me for the weekend, between intermediate and senior, Davey. The Screen result, I had 7 out of 8 of the results, and Davey, you'd have measly 5 out of 8.
Yeah, I had a chance with a few teams, but yeah, it just didn't come good for me. But yeah, fair play to you, Mickey. Credit where it's due.
Oh, thanks, Davey. Thanks a million.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks, and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture, and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.o'ReillyOakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Well, time to move on now anyway, and we will have a look at the upcoming hurling championship fixtures for the weekend, and of course they're at a similar stage to what the football is at.
Yeah, they're entering semi-final stage next weekend as well. So very much all to play for in the hurling championships, and we'll start with the Ted Murtagh Clothing and Footwear Senior Hurling Championships semi-final stage. First game up for decision is on Saturday in Park Tolton. It takes place between Trim and Retote, and it throws in at 4 o'clock. The other semi-final is down for decision on Sunday, and it's between Kiltale and Kildalki, those old familiar rivals. That takes place at 3:30 at HQ. In the JM Food Services Intermediate Hurling Championship knockout stage, semi-final action starting on Saturday in Trim. Navan O'Matney's played Dunamore Ashburn in a novel pairing that throws in at 4 p.m. And also on Saturday, it forms the first half of the doubleheader over in Trim, and it takes place between Kildalki and Kilscare Moyla. Then moving on into the K Windows and Doors Junior Hurling Championship, the final is down for decision on Sunday, and the previews of those were being taken place on Monday night as well. And it's Kildalki taking on St Pat's from Stamullen, and that game throws in at 1:30. And there's a number of other Premier Finals down for decision as well. But that's all from the hurling front, Mickey.
Absolutely. Brilliant stuff. And again, best luck to all the teams taking the field in the Hurling Championship next weekend. Okay, Davey, time to move on now. And we'll have a look at the results from the Keepack Ladies Football Championships from the weekend. We're going to start with the senior and work our way down. And senior quarterfinals that took place, St. Peter's Dunboyne 1-15, Oldcastle 10 points. Screen 3-9, Navan O'Matney's 2-9. In the intermediate quarterfinals, it was St. Michael's 2-9, Rathote 4 points. St. Colum Kills 2-6, Summerhill 1-5.
Moving on into the Junior A, Mickey, quarterfinal action. Great win from Manalvi against Dunchocklin Royal Gales, second team. They defeated them 1-10 to 5, missing a few players as well in that game. Walterstown recorded a 9-point victory over Moyla in the other quarterfinal. It finished Walterstown 1-13, Moyla 1-4. And in the Junior B quarterfinal stage action as well, Kilbride going well on all fronts at the moment. They defeated Clonard by 2-21 to 6. And just one other game down for decision in the Junior B. That takes place this coming Tuesday, and it's between Navan O'Matney's and Blackhall Gales. It throws in Paddy O'Brien Park at 7 p.m.
In the Junior C quarterfinals, with Central Town's B team 5-18, Trim's B team 13 points. Another result we're waiting on is St. Mary's versus Boards Mills B team. In the Junior D quarterfinals, it was Rathkenny 2-7, Bechtov 3-3, a 1-point victory there for Kenny. And the other result we're waiting from that one is Dundry versus Screen. That takes place on Thursday at 8 p.m. in Screen.
Junior E, last but not least, quarterfinal action. And Carnaross had a huge win against Castletown. It finished 12-10 to Carnaross, 3 points to Castletown. And in the other game, it was a lot closer between Oldcastle and Waterstown, but Oldcastle came out victorious by 2 points. Both sets of second teams had finished Oldcastle 2-10, Waterstown 1-11.
And we're going to go to the upcoming fixtures from the Keepack Championships. We're going to start down the bottom, because when we get to the top, we're going to talk about the we're going to preview the senior semi-finals. So in the Junior C, if I'm not mistaken, these could be relegation finals. They are indeed. It's Simonstown versus St. Colum Kills B team. In the Junior D, it's Rathote's B team against Bolivar. In the Junior E, it's St. Patrick's B team against St. Ulton's B team. Dates and venues to be decided for those in the... Let me see, where am I going now? Junior B, it's Duleek Bellewstown versus Wolf Tones. That's on Saturday at 6:30 in Duleek Bellewstown. In the Junior A, it's Dunboyne's B team versus Dunsany. That's Sunday at 5 p.m. in Dunsany. In the intermediate relegation games, it's St. Hulton's versus Boards Mill, and that will be played at 6 p.m. in Sean Newman Park on Saturday. And then finally,
that'll be in Cawtown actually now.
Oh, it's in Cawtown. Davey's getting that one in. Fair play. And so it's been moved from Sean Newman Park. And then the other relegation final from the senior championship, it's going to be Dunamore Ashburn against Simonstown, and that's going to be in Ashburn on Saturday at 7 p.m. Davey.
Yeah, that one might move, but we'll just keep an eye on that. Anyway, we'll move on into the semi-finals. Junior F still yet to be decided. There's still one more game to be played in that one. In the Junior E, we do have the semi-final pairings. It's Longwood's first team taking on Oldcastle's B team. Date and time to be confirmed in that one. We do have a fixture, though, for the other one, and it's Clannagale's B team taking on Carnross's one and only team. That takes place in Athboy on Sunday at 2 p.m.
In the Junior D semi-finals, it's going to be Dunmore Ashburn versus Dundry Orscreen in Ashburn on Sunday at 6 p.m. That's Sunday, the 1st of October. And Summerhill will play Rakenny in the other semi-final in Summerhill, and the date and time is to be confirmed for that one.
Junior C semi-finals now. First one up is between Drumbarra and St Mary's. It will take place in Drumbarra, but date and time yet to be clarified. And also in Enfield, it's going to be Nafina taking on Sanchestown's B team. Again, date and time to be confirmed in that one. Junior B semi-finals then. First up, it's Gael Columbkill versus Kilbride. Should be a very good semi-final, that actually. That takes place in Kells. Still waiting on a time for that one and a date. And also in Trim, it's going to be Trim taking on the winner of Blackhall Gales or Navan O'Matney. Date and time to be confirmed.
Brilliant stuff. In the Junior A semi-finals on Saturday, the 30th of September, it's going to be Clonmacnoise against Waterstown at 5 p.m. in Simonstown, and St Pat's will take on Minalvi at 2:30 in Ashburn. The referees to be decided for those ones. In the intermediate semi-finals, they both will take place on Saturday again on the 30th of September. Nafina will play St Michael's. The venue is Boards Mill and the time is 5 p.m. The referee for that one will be Henry Clifford. And D Rangers will take on St Columbkill's. Referee and venue to be decided for that one. So it's time to move on now, Davey, to the senior semi-finals. And I'm going to let you do the preview of the first one.
Yeah, first one takes place between local neighbours Royal Gales and Screen. It takes place in Bective on the 30th, which I believe is Saturday, at 2:30 p.m. And the referee is Joseph Curran from the St Michael's Club. Bective will host this eagerly anticipated semi-final on Saturday, the 30th of September at 2:30 p.m. Screen have progressively got better over the course of this championship, and their win in a titanic battle against Navan O'Matney's in the quarter-final on Sunday has got them fired up and ready to go. They will remember the first round game against this Dunchocklan team where they were downed by the concession of 3 goals in an otherwise evenly matched contest. Niamh O'Brien led her team confidently through the campaign, but suffered a shoulder injury during Sunday's contest and is an injury doubt for this game. No doubt all on the team will be fighting for her, and the likes of Laura Mangan, Roisin McManus and Aisling O'Connor are ready to come in as they did on Sunday. They were pivotal, in breaching the Navan O'Matney's defence to set them on their way to the semi-final. Elizabeth Moreland had an outstanding game and dropped back into the defence when her captain went off and had a stormer. And despite receiving a yellow card at the start of the last quarter, she came back in and marshalled her defence in the face of a determined onslaught from the Navan O'Matney's attack. The last 5 minutes must have seemed like an eternity as they were under constant pressure until the end. Other players to watch out for this on the Screen team are Ellie Murphy, who was very accurate from freeze, and their wing-backs, Alana Cooney and Ava Purcell, who mopped up a lot of dirty ball to relieve the pressure. Kira Smith was a handful for the Navan O'Matney's defence, and her pace and ability to beat her marker will no doubt be noticed by Royal Gales. The Dunchocklan Royal Gales themselves have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They will be leaving no stone unturned while they eye up their final place. Despite topping their group, they will be wary of the momentum that comes with playing Screen, having only played on Sunday. They will know they will need to be switched on from the start and all games on Saturday if they are to return to their second final in succession. The disappointment of losing their first one last year seems to be their driving force for this year, and they have done everything right so far, including matching the champions Dunboyne in round 3, doing enough to go through as group winners on score difference, of course. Niamh O'Sullivan, who scored a hat-trick in last year's semi-final against Sanchton, will be looking for the same service from her teammates this time around. Players like Ella Moyles, Niamh Gallogly, Laura Murray and powerhouse Maeve Byrne are sure to be combative as they have in their last 3 games. Joseph Curran is the referee taking charge of this game.
Brilliant stuff. And Screens Ground will be hosting the other semi-final between Centralstown, Group 2 winners, and St. Peter's Dunboyne, current champions. Centralstown have a serious pedigree in senior football championship and are famous for a remarkable spell of dominance during the 2000s, winning 13 out of 15 between 2000 and 2014. The new Centralstown team seem to be building up quietly and have been ruthless in their group games today. They pipped the Matneys by 213 to 212 in their group games opener and then accounted for Oldcastle and Dunamore Ashburn on the road. There was a massive attack in threat from Stacey Grimes and Erla Finnegan, and we'll be hoping that Amy Gilson and Kia Geraghty and goalkeeper Louise Coyle maintain their fine form going into this contest. St. Peter's Dunboyne have had plenty of football to dust off the cobwebs, and despite finishing second in their group and therefore sending them into a quarter-final pairing with Oldcastle, they emerged victorious on a scoreline of 115 to 10 points. The core squad has been excellent in mentoring the younger players into the team and seem to have a player for every position covered. Shelley Melia, Sarah Wall, Saoirse Quinn, Fiona O'Neill, and of course Emma Duggan will be keen to advance to this year's decider. Angela Gallagher takes charge of this match on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. in Screen. And we want to wish all the girls taking the field next weekend the very best of luck.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910, or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, that kind of leads us on to something that, you know, has been highlighted, and I know it probably comes up later on in our Instagram interactive talking points. But a lot of clubs made statements on the weekend as well. Navan na Matneys, Rathaut, Dundurry and Mainalvi, all dual clubs, Camogie and Ladies Football. And they were left in predicaments where they weren't able to play full teams, we'd say, in the Camogie or in the football on the weekend because of the fixture congestion. The Camogues are saying that, well, our fixture planner was set out from the start of the year with our quarterfinals, semi-finals and finals. The ladies' football, they had done the group stages, but they never sent out the fixtures, the master plan for the quarterfinals. And in the end, we had quarterfinals and Camogie championship games all taking place around the county on the same weekend. And a lot of clubs were stating that player welfare wasn't being adhered to and whatever, and ended up not being able to play, as I said, players for both teams. The dual players weren't able to tug out for both teams on the weekend. Some of them did, obviously, but some of them weren't able to. And, you know, we saw at the start of the year that both Camogie Association and the Ladies Football Association came together and said, you know, well, we're going to work in partnership from now on. And it's just a little backward step that the fixtures weren't in a master planner so that, you know, we could have come up with something better. It left players in an awful predicament on the weekend.
It did, yeah, it did. It left certain players in a predicament whereby they had to pick and choose, you know, they had to play two games in whatever, you know, a number of hours, we could say. I do think that the blame lies at the door of the Meads ladies. But by the sounds of it, by my understanding of it, my reckoning of it, and there seems to be a little bit of ignorance attached to it as well, in that they're not willing to get in a room with the Camogie board and to talk it through and to plan accordingly. We acknowledge mistakes can happen, and they do happen, and I think they happen in men's terms as well, and these things can happen. But things like this continuing to happen at this stage is completely unforgivable. You look at the strides that's been made by the Mead LGFA through the ladies winning championships at All Ireland level over the last number of years, and participation numbers have rocketed, right? What is it going to mean for the future if they can't do it now? What's going to happen in 10 years time, for example, when we have double or treble or quadruple the number of players that we have now playing? I just think there needs to be serious lessons learned from things like that. It's incredibly difficult for the players. I think if it continues like this, I'm not trying to suggest things, but players will have no choice but to maybe strike or to make some sort of stance, because they're the ones that's suffering at the end of the day. You know, we can talk as much as we want and they can make the decisions, but ultimately it's the players in the respective clubs that are having to suffer through this. And it gives absolutely no regard whatsoever for player welfare, which is really, really disappointing. There was a meeting supposed to be held, I think, in August. And any sort of constructive outcomes from that meeting, to me, have been completely brushed aside even already, you know, as a result of an incident like this.
Yeah, it's a step back, because as I said, you know, what I was talking about there, that they had come together and we were delighted, like, because what I was delighted about is that on both fronts, we're doing really well. You know, our Camogie is really, really starting to take shape. Our football, our ladies' football has taken shape, and it's been brilliant for the last number of years. And all we want is for them to work together a little bit better and be able to let the dual players, because we've got some fantastic dual players, you know, and not put them in a predicament that they have to pick and choose. And look, hopefully going forward, something will happen. Obviously, we've had the start of that. As you said, in August, there was the meeting. This is a little bit of a step back, but hopefully at the end of the season, they're able to come together and say, right, well, that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. It's just learning lessons from it. But like, we're sitting here, how many times do we sit here a year, Mickey? I mean, it's not always on the Mead LGFA and the Mead Camogie board, but how many times a year do we sit here and talk about Camogie and ladies football clashing? And usually it's at inter-county level. It can't continue. Like, it's just so wrong, and it's going to turn so many players off playing, Jewel. You know, I think, yeah.
There's a very simple solution. Like, follow the Mead football and hurling championship. Put the ladies football championship on the same weekends as the men's, and put the Camogie on the same weekends as the hurling. Now, to me, that seems like a simple way, and maybe it's too simple. Maybe that's it. Maybe the referees and people and stewarding and all that, like, is maybe a bit more difficult, and maybe pitches availability and stuff like that. But, you know, go at different times and stuff. But that would be a simple solution, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, it would. And even if it's not stuck to as rigidly as the lads' equivalent, it would be a big step forward. It's never going to be perfect. Like, you look at the lads won this year, and the Junior B quarterfinals obviously weren't put in the planner, and that made it difficult, but they found a way. Do you know what I mean? And clubs accept that. There are going to be mistakes. So sometimes you just need to kind of swallow it up and get on with it. And I think that would be better than anything, because at the moment, players are completely in the dark about games, you know, what the future is going to bring and what they're doing next weekend. It's shocking, really, in this day and age, I think.
Yeah. Look, again, you know, we're not trying to knock anybody, but with both codes going so well, it's a shame for something like that to happen and for them both to be taking a step back, and we hope that they can resolve it and fix it, and maybe that's the last time it will happen, and fingers crossed they all come together and sort that out. Well, that's it. Anyway, we've got the previews done. We've got the results done from the ladies' football. We're going to move on now, and we're going to go to our next segment. Davey, the club shop, the Kiko Sports We Are Mead club shop is open once again this year, and we're very excited. I was in Karen Ross last Thursday night doing the commentary on your own game between Cortin and Minalti, and Keith Sheeran arrived up, one of the best referees in Mead and a great follower of the podcast. He arrived up, and there he was, and the two of us sporting the We Are Mead tops. It was great to see it on show, but we're going to be opening that shop again, and you have a couple of details you want to get out there.
Yeah, so the shop is going to open next week, Mickey, which, it, as you know from last year, it kind of gives people a two-week window to get their orders in, because it can take up to 6 weeks for the items that you purchase on the shop to be delivered. And the thinking behind opening the shop and closing it in a short space of time is that people can get their goods before Christmas, because a lot of people do buy for their loved ones for Christmas. So basically, there's a pre-order link which will go live next week. Once the shop closes, all orders will be processed then. And there is that lead-in time of approximately 6 weeks from the date in which the club shop closes. It will open from the 2nd of October, which I believe is next Monday, at 9 a.m. And it will close on the 16th of October, just before 12 at night. So we've got our usual apparel. We've got our terrifically designed We Are Mead Kiko Sports jersey, which is the white one with the green stripe down the side. Absolutely brilliant, and was ripped off by St. Pat's and Stamullen. Every time I look at the program, I just laugh. But it's a quality jersey, not to take away from. We've also got our half zip. We have these in adult and kid sizes, by the way. We've got our hoodie. We've got our puffer jacket, which is a really popular one, and it's something that we love wearing to games as well. And we've also got our bobble hat, which is really, really good, especially for this time of year as well, and probably early next year, people going to league matches and stuff. What we do want to know is there anything that we're missing, Mickey? Is there something that people would like to see? So, you know, I'm not that big into it, but people might say a scarf, or they might have gloves, or, you know, there could be something else possibly. So what we're going to do is we're going to pop all the stuff that we have had on Instagram, on our story. People can go on, have a look at it, get a feel for it. And we're going to leave a question box at the end to open to suggestions to what people would like to see. And we'll do our utmost to try and provide that as well before the shop opens next week. So get across, have a look at what we have, and hit us with anything else that you think might be worth adding to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but just to announce the Kiko Sports Team of the Year, a night that we will be having in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. We will come back to you all with a date and a time for that, but please do support it. It's an absolutely brilliant night. We will be announcing our nominations after the championships are over. And we've had a sneak preview at this year's unique Team of the Year jersey, Davey. And what we thought last year's was gorgeous, this year's one is another step up. And it's great that we've got a unique jersey year on year for the Kiko Sports Team of the Year.
Yeah, we weren't arguing about it, but we were sort of in agreement that what we had was absolutely beautiful. But can we make a little tweak or two to just make it that bit more beautiful? You can't stand still in this game, can you, Mickey? And we've made a couple of little changes to it. It looks absolutely fantastic. Obviously, the big reveal probably won't be until the night, but it's a cracker.
Yeah, it really is an all-star jersey, let's just say. That's the way we can look at it, because it is the Kiko Sports All-Stars for 2023 that we'll be announcing that night. So, do come. We had a fantastic night last year, and we want more of the same again this year too. As well, it's all about the club player. And, of course, there'll be players from all over the county, from all over all the championships nominated. And it will be up to you, the listeners, to make sure that we pick the right Kiko Sports Team of the Year All-Stars for 2023. Okay, time to move on now, Davey, to the Lotto segment. Have you had many? I've had the usual ones on to me.
Yeah, I have. I've got a few in today as well, so good to see. First up is from Walterstown GFC, and their results from last night. The numbers were 6, 12, 14 and 15. They didn't have any jackpot winners. They did have a number of match three winners, three in total. Cottle Donnelly, Melissa Kelly and Patrick McGuinness. They go again next week with €8,600. Minolti are in next, and their results from Sunday night, they had a jackpot of 3,000 on offer. 5, 19, 21, 24, their numbers, no jackpot winner. Three match, three winners, each receiving 70 euro, were Olivia Cusson, Peter Rogers, and Jenny Stafford. The special online prize of 50 euro went to John Brogan, and next week's draw takes place on Sunday, and it's worth 3,200 euro. Gilcom Kill from last week, I think Thursday nights are their nights. They had an 1,800 euro jackpot, which wasn't won. They're starting afresh. 13, 14, 20, and 29, their numbers. They had no match three winners, which means they move on to 1,950 euro next week. Moving on to the biggest lotto in the county, it's, of course, Cortown GFC, Mickey. And we continue to move. 16,100 last Friday night, not won. The numbers drawn were 6, 8, 18, and 28. 550 euro winners were Mary Rispin, that's my old mother, Pauline Riley, Carol Thornton, Breege Herward, and Kathleen Costello. We go again this week with 16,200 euro. We also have a 250 euro voucher for Keating's Oil, and you can play it at cortownga.com/lotto. Next in is Castletown, and their results from last week, the 20th of September, 5,500 of a jackpot, wasn't won. 8, 16, 17, and 22, their numbers. Johnny Ginnity, Anne Young, Joe Barry, Mary Smith, and Ollie Casty were their lucky dip winners. They each collect 30 euro. Navan O'Matney's is a nice jackpot, which is growing week by week. From last week, their numbers were 4, 15, 28, and 32. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Yolanda Murtha, Tara Clark, Kelly Caffrey, and John Nugent. Their next draw takes place on the 26th of September. They've got 12,800 euro. Drumbarra are next in, and their results from last week, 2, 3, 14, and 20, the numbers, 3,300 euro of a jackpot, not won. 30 euro winners were Catherine Gavran, Sandra Henry, Rumpo, the Burden family, and Paul Murphy. And the final one on my list comes from last Monday night, and it was with Manalvi GFC, and their numbers were 9, 16, 20, and 26. No winner of that one. 320 euro winners were Pat Barry, Peggy Melia, and Rachel O'Neill. Their next draw takes place tonight. It's worth 4,700 euro, and you can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app.
And Centurions Lotto last Monday, the 18th of September. The lotto was not won. The numbers drawn were 13, 14, 18, and 19. The 5 25 euro winners were Jerry McDonald, Derek Clifford, Jacinta Carey, Marie Collins, and Brian Clark. And this week's lotto, taking place tonight, actually, is 5,400 euro. Same with Kilmaine and Mudd. Their draw was last Monday night, taking place again tonight, but we don't have the results in. So we'll go with last week's, the 18th of September. The numbers drawn were 15, 19, 20, and 21. There was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro, were Kira Gilsonen, Luke Riley, Joe Ward, Phil Cassidy, and Dermot Smith. This week's lotto, taking place tonight, as we said, is 3,400 euro. And finally, into Simonstown's lotto last Friday night. Jackpot was 3,900 euro. There was no winner. Lucky dip winners were Jackie Sheridan, Eileen Pedderley, and Neil McGuinness. And the numbers drawn were 1, 24, 26, and 28. This Friday's lotto will take place in the clubhouse, and it is 3,950 euro. Play it online, Jelly says. Jelly followed up with a little question as well, Davey. He said, do you still have the predictions from before the club draws? I know I've fallen in the Junior A, and then the rest of the grades, from what I remember, our teams are into the finals. Are they? He sends at the end of it. Well, I have them here in front of me. I have all of these things on file. And so in the Junior B, the predictions that we had made, Davey obviously went for Cortown. They went out at semi-final stage. I went for Minalti, and Jelly went for Slane. So both of us are still alive in the Junior B. In the Junior A, Davey, you went for Kilbride. I went for Clonmacnoise, and Jelly went for St. Bridget. So Jelly is out of the Junior A. So he is. But we had the three of the semi-finalists in there as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I even may have mentioned Ballinlock as well at the same time. So we had every angle cover, I think we were saying last week. In the intermediate, But you and Jelly went for Dunique Bellewston and I went for Rathkenny. There was no mention of Navan O'Matney's at the start of the year, Davey, when we were doing these predictions. And of course, in the summer, in the senior championship, you and Jelly, once again in cahoots, you went for Summerhill and I went for Athode. So I've got four teams in finals from Junior B, Junior A, Intermediate and Senior. You've got three and Jelly has three as well. So I'm in a better standing at the moment than the both of you are.
Yeah, purely because you didn't pick your own club for the senior. But yeah.
Yeah, well,
fair enough.
Well, now come on. At the start of the year,
were you not thinking
that yous were going to win the Junior B?
Were you not thinking that Simonstown were going to win the senior, no?
Time to move on. So, Jelly, just to let you know, yes, you have three of your teams through to the finals. Davey has three through to the finals, and I have four. I've got one in each of them, which is just unbelievable. And if I had put on an accumulator at the start of the year on Menalty, Clonmacgale, Rathkenny, and Rathode, what price would that have been, Davey, before a ball was kicked in earnest?
You don't get at them for forgetting the finals, Mickey. You don't get.
No, I know, but if it did come true, you'll tell me what odds I would have had on that.
I'll tell you after. Yeah.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Time to move on now, and we'll go to our Instagram interactive talking points from the weekend. And I know that there's been an awful lot of people in contact with you, Davey.
Yeah, there has. Yeah, it was obviously a huge weekend. Joey Mooney has a couple in, and his first one is Mickey Brennan. The game is underwear on Northern Sound on Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, the ball was thrown in, and I says, "And the game is underwear here now."
Oh no!
And Damien Donoghue started to laugh, and he says, "Well, actually, the game is underway. I wouldn't like to see if the game was underwear."
Very good. I was looking at that one all day, and I was wondering, were you describing the game as being absolutely shocking that you were calling
no.
underwear?
But no, the game was just after thrown in.
Fair play, Joey. Good spot by you.
Thanks, Joey. Yeah, thanks, Joey.
He also said, any reason why the Wolftones keeper wears the number 32 jersey? Yeah, I think we had this one before. I can't really remember. Were we ever given a reason why Kieran Gallagher wears the number 32 jersey?
Yeah, it's something that we should probably, just check out with the club and whenever. There could be some, you know, very significant reasons. Some, maybe the number one jersey has been resigned for the year or something like that, or for a couple of years.
I think David Nolan took it with him.
David Nolan stole the jersey and took it with him.
Yeah. Joe McQueeney, who you shamelessly robbed his statistic from earlier on, Mickey, so you can give him the due credit in a moment. He said, from some Wikipedia research, the first repeat of a senior final in Meath since 58 and 59. Well,
Yeah, yeah, that was what I was bringing up earlier on. I did see that somewhere. I think it could have been Joe that maybe put it up on Twitter as well. But that's a hell of a stat. Absolutely brilliant. And it's something I probably would have been starting to look back at this week coming. And he's done the work for me. So brilliant stuff, Joe.
Brian McGuire said, Navin O'Matney's team dancing on tables in Clark's after beating Beliver.
Ouch.
Do you want vinegar with them salt, with that salt?
Ouch, ouch, ouch. Who put it? Who sent that in?
Brian McGuire from Central Sound. And hilariously, actually, Jack McConnell and a few other lads replied to that with videos of them dancing on tables on Sunday in Clark's after their semi-final defeat. So good to see they were still doing it after the Rakeni game like they were doing it against Beliver. So Sean Murray said Junior B final possibly clashing with Evan Murray's birthday. I would say call the Junior B final off, Mickey. What would you?
Absolutely. That can't happen. You can't have the two. Unless they ask for the Junior B final to be played very early in the day so that he can get a good run at the birthday afterwards.
Yeah, that'll be quite a night at the library. Dara Tui said it's Duleek's year.
Could be. It could very well be. Look, they've been awesome, but they're going to come up against their toughest assignment in that final in Rakeni. And don't write them off. Of course, Rakeni will be missing David Curtis, who broke his wrist against Waterstown, but they have plenty of really good footballers. I can't wait for that final.
Sui 7074. This is hilarious, right? Because this is literally an account that was made up just to put in an Instagram interactive. Like, you know you've made it when they're doing this. Wolf Tones can't take losing. Sour grapes.
Yeah, I obviously I didn't get to watch this game. I was commentating in Cavan at the time, so I was listening to it actually. And I didn't get to hear what happened after the game. Was there a little bit of shenanigans after the game, Davey?
There were a few handbags all right out around the centre of the pitch, and I don't think the Tone supporters were too happy with Derek Ryan and his team of officials who were walking off as well. It was maybe one of them. They felt a few decisions went against them throughout the course of the afternoon, but I think most people who were at it from a Wolf Tone standpoint will reflect on that and think, all things considered, they left it behind themselves. They had enough chances probably to not just draw that game, but maybe to win it as well. And they didn't do so. So they can have nobody to blame really but themselves.
Okay.
Jamie Flaherty said, interviewing a loud man for a Mead podcast. When I seen this coming in, my first instinct was he having a dig at Joe Sheridan? But he wasn't. I think Brian Fitzpatrick, their wing back, is a loud man. But he's obviously playing his trade with Duleek Bellisa. So.
And the Sheridans come from
Cavan. We don't discriminate, do we?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've had people from all over the world on. But Joe Sheridan originates from Cavan anyway. So, you know, definitely wasn't Joe Sheridan anyway, Davey.
Yeah. Alan Moore said, I hope Kilbride win it all. Great young team, pure football.
Yeah, look, again, and fair play to Alan. You know, he's a St. Bridget's man, and they were hurting after that game, but they had great respect for Kilbride, who beat them, you know, soundly on the day by 6 points. But yeah, Kilbride are a really good footballing team to watch. I just wonder, will, you know, the change in weather and conditions maybe affect the style of football that they play, but it is a Park Tolchin, and Park Tolchin is the best surface in the country that allows you to play really good football.
Yeah, and even the night in Carton against Moyle, I thought they played really good stuff as well. So look, they've proved they can do it, you know, despite whatever conditions they're faced with. Ivan W85 said Pats bottle it against Duleek. I'm not quite sure I agree with him. I don't think they really bottled it. I just think the better team won and the better strength and depth and maybe greater level of fitness won out. I don't think there was any bottling associated with it. Could be wrong, but that would be my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Shane Mangan just echoed kind of what we've talked about. He said Mead LGFA have a lot to answer for, really poor.
Yeah, we did. We brought that up and like we don't want to start pointing fingers or anything like that, but... You know, something has to happen, and we do hope that all the stakeholders involved, you know, have a look at what's going on and sort it out.
Yeah, just on that, Aidan Slattery, who's a keen player, obviously former County Camogie player as well, and hopefully she'll return to that fray in the not too distant future. She said women playing 3 or 4 championship games in 1 week, a disgrace.
Yeah, you know, look, it happened to, as we said already, you know, the quarterfinals of the Junior B and Junior A championship had to be played midweek, and there was teams involved with hurling and stuff like that. And these things can happen, you know, by accident. But when you see a fixture list out there, it's very easy to, you know, avoid that happening. And that's something that they need to look at. Look, mistakes will happen every so often, but the avoidable ones shouldn't happen, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Keane Kelly said, Darren Heaney doing Darren Heaney things. Not sure if you caught the commentary of Dalík Bellew saying you're probably on duty yourself, Mickey, on Saturday. But Darren Heaney came on and hit a terrific score over on the terrace side outside of the boot. And his celebrations were brilliant. He cupped his ears toward the stand as well. It was a quality score, but it was an even better celebration from him.
Yeah, you love a good celebration in the GAA.
Yeah. Kieran O'Hare said, Rakeni's hammering against Navan O'Matney's. They'll surely be tipped going into the final.
They're trying to put all the pressure on Rakeni now before the final. But like, look,
they were awesome. A Rakeni man, by the way.
Oh, he wants them tipped. He should be saying no, underdogs going into that. But yeah, they were awesome. What a performance they put in unbelievably horrendous conditions, it has to be said, in Park Tauchin on Sunday.
Finn Murray said Adam Byrne's performance against Navan O'Matney's.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. I spoke to him after the game as well. You go over to the Loyal Royals podcast to hear that one. And I just thought he was so good. He was available for everything at all times and just held that centre-half back position brilliantly.
Megan Greenhall says Retote for the trophy this year.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, they're making hard work of it, so they are, you know, to retain it, and they're there. You know, they've got 2 weeks to sort out whatever needs to be sorted. They're showing all their steel and all their grit and all the qualities of champions to get through to a final in the manner that they have. And maybe they'll, you know, let loose against Summerhill in the final, but it's going to be a very, very hard final to call. You know, Summerhill struggled with Dunamore Ashburn as well in their semi-final, but semi-finals are there to be won in whatever manner possible.
Exactly, yeah. I couldn't argue with that at all, Mickey. So I think, yeah, all teams are there on merit, and it doesn't matter how you get there, really. But
yeah.
Anyway, moving on to David Regan. He said Manalvi for Intermediate 2024. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, look, there's one more game for them to go in that relegation, and it is against Screen. And that's a really hard game to call, Davey. You know, I'm not looking forward to trying to call that next week.
No, nor am I. Next one up is from Patrick Riley. He said Summerhill looking stronger and in better form in the last 3 games than Retote.
But they were up until the Dunamore Ashburn game, maybe. And they got a real tough assignment there in that semi final. And, you know, kudos to Dunamore Ashburn. They were in it right up until the closing stages, and you know, can be very proud of their work to get that far.
Yeah, absolutely. Jelly's also been in touch. He said, any word on the regional championships this year?
Have we had anything yet? I know that there's definitely things in the pipeline. We've seen the teams.
Yeah, do you want me to run through them? I'll have them here in front of me if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
Quickly. Yeah, yeah. So 2023, there are slight changes, but there is still going to be 8 regional teams. The first one will be Blackwater. It'll comprise of Carnross, Drumbarra, Kilmainham, Menalty and St. Michael's on Tushgard, which is the north. That will be Drumcondrent, Castletown, Meadhill, Kilmainham Wood and Nobber. Our Bracken is next, and this has Dundry, Cortown, St. Dalton's and Navan O'Matney. So Navan O'Matney's coming into the fray there. Bruna Bonia, which is Valley of the Boyne. This is going to be Duleek, Bellewstown, Eastern Gael, St. Mary's, St. Pat's and St. Vincent's, all the Saints in that one. Boyne Valley, last year's champions, will be made up of Rakenny, Slane, Sidon and Walterstown. Loch Crew next in, and they are formed by Ballinlough, Moyla, Oldcastle and St. Bridget's. Moyfenra this year have welcomed Clannagail in. They'll take their place alongside Clonard, Longwood, Boardsmill and Beliver. And finally, it's Tara, and they will be made up of Bechtiv, Blackall Gales, Dunsany, Kilbride and St. Paul's. There are a few regulations, Mickey. I think the one interesting one that I picked from it is that the team who wins the intermediate championship won't be in it, and they'll be replaced by the team that gets relegated from the senior championship, regardless of where they are logistically or, sorry, geographically. And the other one, which is key as well, is no under 19 players who are playing for their clubs are allowed to play until they've been knocked out of that competition. Which is disappointing, but completely understandable at the same time, because those games will be taking place, you know, seamlessly or hand in hand, if you like. So they're the kind of main things about it. There'll be two groups of four. They'll all play against each other. Each team will have a home game and away game and a game at a venue to be decided by the CCC. So that suggests that all games won't be played in Dungannon like they were last year. So teams, you know, within each region will have to nominate a home venue to play their games, I would imagine, under lights, because it's that time of year. And yeah, that's pretty much the main talking points. We don't have a start date for it yet. We don't have managers that are going to be in place yet. But it's something to look forward to, and it's definitely in the pipeline.
Yeah, disappointed that they're not going to be in Dungannon. I thought that was a brilliant event, having them all, having the two games being played in Dungannon on a Tuesday and the two games being played in Dungannon on a Wednesday. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see this, how it travels around the county as well, and to see what kind of crowds they get to it. But can't wait for the regional championship, and we'll be looking forward to that after the club championship finishes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Next in is Fia O'Brien, and she said Neil Burns shorts string hanging out for the whole junior final.
I never noticed that, did you?
Were you out at the Premier final?
No. I didn't see that. I had to leave that to get to Cavan. I had to leave the Rakenny and Navan O'Matney's game and head for Cavan, but the Premier final was on afterwards.
That's right, yeah. Thomas Flood said Clannagail for the junior hurling and football double.
I thought, are they still in the Junior Hurling Championship?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly they are, yeah.
Oh, okay. And I thought that they were out a couple of weeks ago.
They're out of the... They're out of the...
the intermediate. Yeah. You never know. It's funny, when they won the Intermediate Championship, did they win the Junior Football Championship the same year in the hurling a few years ago?
They could well have done, yeah.
I think they did the double.
2017, yeah, possibly. Where are we? Adam Glennon said on Shockland's potential they had this year. Yeah, I suppose when you look back at it now, I think they'll feel fairly sick the way things went.
Yeah, absolutely. And the loss of their two of their main players in Conor Gray and Niall Mini Murphy before that quarterfinal were huge to them. But as I said to you, after that match against Rathaut, they can use this going forward in two ways. They can either feel sorry for themselves, or they can look at it and say, Jesus, we're up there now. We're ready to take a shot at this senior championship.
Yeah. Darrow Griffin said Shane McInerney is ageless.
He is. Yeah, he's class. Great lad. Great time.
Are you older than him?
I think so, I think he's 42, is he?
I think he could be 43, is he?
Is he 43? I am older than him, I know that much.
unbelievable, though. And we have an interview with him, obviously, on the Loyal Royals podcast this week as well, for anybody that's interested. Where are we now? I don't don't think there's too many more left. Have we one or two more to get through? D. Dunhu said Wolf Tones missed chances. Yeah, we've kind of already touched on that, haven't we?
Yeah, well, we kind of did, yeah. When I was listening to this one, as I said, on the radio, and now, obviously, all their frees towards the end of the game were all from distance and against the wind, and everything was against them or whatever. But you would have expected a Wolf Tones team with the quality players and free takers that they have to have hit at least one of them to draw 11.
Yeah, yeah. They had their chances 100%, and like, having got within 1 point with 20 minutes to go, you'd have just fancied them to kick on, but they never did. But Rotolo deserved credit too. Like, you know what? I know they were far from their brilliant best, but that's what champions do. They find a way, and Rotolo found a way, you know, like they did against Dunshaughlin. So, yeah, you know, you have to hand it to them.
Absolutely.
That's it for Insta this week.
What, Davey, before we leave, I just want to see, did you see the picture from the intermediate semi-final between St. Pat's and Jaleek Bellewstown, with James McWheeney on the ground and Adam Byrne standing over him with Keith Sheeran, the referee, and they're all having a little bit of a laugh. I thought it was a brilliant photo.
Yeah, I did see that. Brilliant shot. And yeah, nice to see as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? Adam Byrne is a really, really good lad as well. I was down in St. Pat's a few weeks ago with the kids playing underage football on a really wet, murky morning. And he was over. I don't know if you've been to St. Pat's lately, but they have a mobile coffee shop in one of those trucks, and the players run it. And Adam Byrne and one of the other players were running it that morning. And I stood talking to the lads for easily 40 minutes about football, about the podcast, about everything. And I have to say, really, really good lad. Always smiling. And even in this game, in that photo, himself, Keith Sheeran and James McWheeney, all having a bit of a laugh. And just one of those, you know, lads that just is a good lad, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Very likeable fella. Good player as well. Good cornerback.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll come again. They've obviously... It's funny, Pats, actually, they've got it. They're in the Junior A hurling final this weekend, and they've got one player from the football team. One. Neil O'Flaherty. That's it. It's incredible in a dual team. Like, we talk about Trim Rotolo, you know, the big senior teams and the crossover that they have, Kildare. Some Pats probably wouldn't have near enough that sort of pick yet. They only have one football player representing the hurlers, which is astonishing, really.
Yeah, it really is. And best luck to them on the weekend. And just have one dual player. They don't have to worry about fixture congestion, so they don't, when they've got a football team separate to the hurling. But absolutely brilliant. Yeah, look, a whole host of podcasts coming this your way this week. So we're going to finish this one, and we might start another one. And then all week, every night this week, we're going to be recording podcasts. So it's time to get some sleep, Davey. Remember, we are Meath, why matters more.